Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Well, it is so good to be back in our space and at our Mount Airy campus this morning. And I'm glad that at least some of our live campus is with us as well. And we are showing up differently. We're showing up in multiple places, but we are showing up, and I'm grateful for that. According to the Associated Press, though, we are, as a country, as a people, a pretty unhappy bunch these days. That's what the Associated Press says. According to the Associated Press, it's been a rough year for the American psyche. Folks in the U.S. are more unhappy today than they've been in nearly 50 years. This bold yet unsurprising conclusion comes from the COVID response tracking study conducted by an agency at the University of Chicago. It finds that just 14% of American adults say they're very happy, down from 31% who said the same in 2018. That year, 23% said they'd often or sometimes felt isolated in recent weeks. Now, 50% of our population says that. 50%. Every other person you meet feels isolated. I can relate to this on a certain level. When the safer at home order began, I worked to maintain an optimistic attitude, and I hope that came through in the messages I offered at the time. I thought, well, it's time to get some projects around the house. It's time to slow down. It's time to reconnect with the family. I think what I and perhaps a lot of you discovered instead was that the spring quickly became one of the busiest and most stressful times in recent memory. And this continues for many of us. One stressor was a disruption to our routines. In mid-March, my wife Julie noticed I was rushing around the house very abruptly and agitated as we were struggling to develop an online strategy from scratch. None of us knew anything about doing this. And we were trying to do this in a very compressed time frame, and she asked, you know, why are you so agitated? And my response was a very human and honest one. I said, I've been doing something every week for over 20 years. And in the span of a week, everything has changed. Was your job like that? Or maybe you got an email saying, actually, you don't have a job, at least for a while. Many of us quickly decided that we didn't like conducting all of our business and relationships online. For many, Zoom life was and is not a lot of fun. It's better than nothing, but it's a poor substitute for human presence. Virtual happy hours at workplaces quickly became virtual obligations that were less than happy. Many of us, many of the parents, we were also conscripted as teachers without any training or support whatsoever. And we spent whole half days doing this work of teaching before even beginning our normal full day of work for an employer. And this wasn't necessarily fun for kids either, as they struggled to wrestle with Chromebooks and click on slides that had broken links and communicate with teachers who were themselves struggling quite a bit. So what started out as intention to be hopeful and to use this time as creative endeavor, possibilities for growth, for me at least, it really struggled to materialize that way. And I don't know if you can relate to that. I don't know how many of you actually have felt like you were on vacation because you had to stay home. And I see some heads shaking here in the worship space. You know, when we engage in certain kinds of growth, like I intended to do when this all started, it helps when we want to grow to not be in a place where we feel alarmed, insecure, worried, or frustrated. If we want to branch out into joy and growth, it helps not to feel like the world is depressing. In order to really engage in a growth conversation, we have to kind of start off in a good place. If you're going to run a race around the track circle, it helps if you're not turned the other way when the starting gun goes off. And yet, even in times when there's not a pandemic, I've noticed this, thinking about this, the public narrative about life is often depressing anyway. Dr. Jeffrey Krepal is a professor of comparative religion at Rice University. I heard him talking in a podcast, and he said something that I thought was very interesting. He said, in the world of academia now, and this is pre-pandemic, he said, you can believe anything you want or advance any theory about life and the universe and how it came to be. He said, but when you do that, there's one rule you cannot break. And the host of the podcast said, what's the rule? He said, your narrative, your story, your outlook on life, your theory, it has to be depressing. He said, that's the rule. You can do anything else you want. You can believe anything else you want as long as it's depressing. I think that can be true of our society in general. Certainly it seems to be when I check the news. There are times when I want to turn it all off and just move to a desert island. And that said, I want to acknowledge that at the same time, and this has been a challenge too for our society, we're grasping with some really, really serious social issues. There are times when we're called to stand up and we're called to right wrongs. Even when it's a challenge, we have abundance and we want everyone to be included in abundance. Recently, I attended a seminar at Presbytery called Dismantling Racism. And discussed there was the way that African Americans were intentionally excluded from getting government-backed mortgages during the New Deal programs in the 1930s. NPR covered this story as follows. Richard Rothstein's new book, The Color of Law, examines the local, state, and federal housing policies that mandated segregation. He notes that the FHA, or Federal Housing Administration, which was established in 1934, furthered the segregation efforts by refusing to insure mortgages in and near African-American neighborhoods, a policy that was known as redlining. At the same time, the FHA was subsidizing builders who were mass-producing entire subdivisions for whites with the requirements that none of the homes be sold to African Americans. NPR quotes from this is the actual underwriting manual of the FHA in the 1930s, that said that, quote, incompatible racial groups should not be permitted to live in the same communities. That was government policy. Incompatible racial groups should not be permitted to live in the same communities. And in the seminar, they went on to explain that as various immigrant groups came over from Europe, that the government would decide and sometimes reverse decisions on who was defined as white. And this is really not that controversial. This is just history as it's been recorded. So people that didn't fit that definition could not get loans. I don't know about you, but I didn't put 100% down when I bought my house. I got a loan, and that's how it happened. Well, a lot of us in the seminar did not, including me, I did not know this. And we were just shaking our heads in disbelief. I was mortified. And I want to suggest that the emotion that we feel when we hear about injustice, that comes from a different place. It's not the depression that I alluded to earlier. Protesting the exclusions of others due to race is actually to say this: life is meaningful, life is rich, life is wonderful, and we can't exclude people from that. Our sisters and brothers who have been excluded from that because of the color of their skin, that's just wrong. That's inhumane. And we as Christians should want everybody to be included. God created diversity. Diversity is God's idea. So our commitment to racial inclusion stems from a passion about life and a desire to say everybody should be included in whatever abundance is available to human beings. That's passion. And that's not depression. That's wanting to make sure that nobody is left out. By contrast, Dr. Kripal's comment about academia, the idea that you can adopt any philosophy or narrative about life and teach it to students as long as it's depressing, that comes out of a different conversation. It's not a passionate conversation, I say. It's a sense that there's no afterlife, there's nothing beyond physical stuff in this world, and that everything else that makes meaning in life, like love and laughter and art and music, that's just mere frosting. And if you ask me, that's depressing. It leaves out God and spiritual life and art and beauty completely. How sad that the reality of what life is, the definition, has been reduced to that. And when we look out into our world, we see media after media story that is depressing. I'm reminding myself, when you open your webpage, be ready. Be ready. Do you have what it takes to not be depressed when you open your news browser? And that's not unique to the pandemic. For whatever reason, news that sells tends to be about what is wrong. And when I was writing this, I did a little test. I scrolled down the Google News page that I usually use, and probably 8 or 9 out of stories could have started with, well, here's what's wrong here. Here's another argument human beings are having. Here's another scandal. Here's another breakdown. Here's another failure. Wouldn't you love to have a happy news agency focused on happy news, at least as a counterbalance? Well, When we go to Scripture this morning, the Apostle Paul actually encourages us to be our own joyful news advocates. Here is what Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians. He said, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Let me repeat that. Think about these things. "Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." Think on these things, keep practicing Christian practices, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a great pandemic practice when you think about it. Think about these things. What's true? What's honorable? What's just? What's pure? What's pleasing? What's commendable? If there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about it. Dwell on it. Get excited about it. Practice it. And the God of peace will be with you. That's how to pull out of that sense, that funk that a lot of us have fallen into during this time. This is actually key and well-being to our health. Very, very important to our health. What Paul is saying is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it probably looks good and just makes common sense to him, but did you know there's solid reasoning behind this exhortation in terms of your health? I don't have the time to go into it this morning, but Dr. Bessel van der Kolk is a psychiatrist who wrote a book that's become quite popular called The Body Keeps the Score. The Body Keeps the Score, and that essentially is the thesis of the book, because he studies people who have been impacted by trauma and the real effect that this has on their bodies. Trauma or feeling threatened or being scared has a physical component to it, and I'll just shorten what he says in the book because it gets technical to say, it's not good for you and your health. But peace and joy and happiness and love and laughter is good for you. So do whatever you have to do to create it. Paul calls us to be our own good news generator. Think about it yourself, find it, dwell on it, meditate on it, give thanks for it, and share it. Be an evangelist for good news. What good news will you generate this week? Let's pray. Almighty God, over the last few months, we may have lost our sense of equilibrium. Our routines have been disrupted. We might fear for our health and the health of those we love, and that might be justified. Life has gotten real. Help us to sort through the din of various concerns, reports, experts, talk show hosts. Help us to know what we need to know as individuals. And how might we be mindful of society with our personal choices? Guide us as we live day by day, and remind us to pray Paul's words, that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, commendable, think about these things. We give thanks that we can worship and praise you today and continue the work of bringing your reign, your reality, your kingdom to earth. I want to invite you to just take a moment, whether you're online or physically present, to be as still as you're able to be. We have a little one in the worship space who's being very still for his age. That's his normal gear. Be still. Settle in a little bit to your seat. Close your eyes. Take a moment to take in some peace. Drink in some peace right now. God is present with you. What's good in your life? What's honorable? What's just? What's commendable? Think about that for a moment. Say a word of thanks. Maybe it was even a dad or an uncle or a grandfather. Say thanks. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.